Hello, everyone. I'm Jim Santos, and this is Bigger, Better World from International Living. In this podcast series, we introduce you to a bigger world full of communities that are safe, welcoming, beautiful, and largely undiscovered. A better world, a friendly, warm, great value world where you can live richer, travel more, invest for profit, and enjoy a better life. So let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Bigger, Better World. As we record this episode, I've just returned from the ultimate Go Overseas Boot Camp that International Living held in Denver, Colorado. What a conference, the biggest ever, and I met a lot of wonderful people there as I talked about the podcast, our life in Ecuador and our future travel plans, and hawked my books and audiobooks available at jimsantos.net. I met a lot of fans of the podcast at the conference, and I want to give a special shout out to some people who did video testimonials for the show. Tiana, Roy, Julie, Sean, and Dave, I hope you're listening, and thanks for your support. Now, today's show is very special for me, as our topic is Buenos Aires, Argentina. Rita and I spent a fantastic weekend there, and we would love to go back and spend a month or two in this beautiful South American city. Here to talk with us about his article in the March 2023 issue of International Living magazine, entitled Blue Dollar Delivers Bargain Lifestyles in Buenos Aires, is IL contributor and the host of his own podcast, The Last Call Express, Mr. Grayson Ferguson. Grayson, welcome to Bigger, Better World, and thanks for joining us today.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you, too. My wife and I visited Buenos Aires and really loved it. Definitely want to go back sometime. So I was curious about where you came from and how you ended up in Argentina.
Oh, that's a good question. So originally, I'm born and raised from the state of Michigan, and I've kind of lived all over the place. And then during COVID pandemic hit, I'm not good at sitting still.
Right.
And so I actually renovated an old 1960s camper and just kind of drove around the United States visiting national parks at the time. Mm-hmm. And I realized I just wanted to kind of keep going once I could. And so decided to just kind of leave the United States. And that's kind of how it went. And I ended up in Argentina because I had two dogs at the time, and I needed a place where it would be both affordable and I could easily bring the dogs to. And Argentina was perfect for that. One of my dogs is a pit bull, and some countries have very specific rules of you can't bring pit bulls in. Mm-hmm. And Argentina allowed everything. So it's like, all right, affordable. I'd been here before and I loved it, and they allowed the dogs. So it just kind of checked all the boxes.
Now, your article was about what you call the blue dollar.
Yes.
Of South America. Now, we noticed during our trip, this was, I guess, about 6 years ago,
okay,
that you at least got a significant discount if you offered to pay in U.S. dollars cash rather than charging it or using the local money. But this is something different from that, isn't it?
Yes, it's kind of, they call it a parallel dollar. Basically, the inflation is so rampant here in Argentina that people can't spend their money fast enough because by next month, it's going to be worth a considerable less amount. Mm-hmm. And so locals like to exchange their pesos for a stronger currency, and the dollar is just easier to come by. And so oftentimes the blue dollar is about twice the value of what the exchange rate would be. Mm-hmm. Just to give you an idea for how inflation has been, I came here about 15, 16 months ago. And at that point, the blue dollar rate was about 200 pesos for one U.S. dollar. 2 days ago, I went to exchange some money, and one U.S. dollar was equal to about 750 pesos. Mm. So it's kind of exploding like that.
So this is an actual form of currency?
Yes, yes. It's, I mean, people sometimes refer to it as a black market dollar, but it's perfectly legal. You can get it from Western Union. And like if you Western Union yourself U.S. dollars to convert to pesos, that'll be the rate that you're getting, is the blue dollar rate. So it's just kind of, it's a reference to an exchange rate that is like different from the official exchange rate, if that makes any sense.
Okay, but this is something that you can go and get into banks or any place where you would exchange money.
Yeah, you would not get it at a bank. If you went to a bank, you'd get the official rate, which I believe is about 300 some odd pesos right now. If you wanted to take advantage of the blue rate, you'd either have to transfer your money to yourself via Western Union. There are money kind of exchange people here that you do it with, or they recently changed it for if you use a foreign credit card, you get something very similar to the blue dollar rate. So it's not quite as high of an exchange rate, but if you're visiting for a week and you don't feel like dealing with Western Union or going to a money lender or exchanger, you can use credit cards. But a lot of people do give you a discount if you pay in cash. Mm-hmm. But don't go to a bank and don't withdraw from an ATM. You're going to get the official rate, and that'll cut your money in half, basically.
Well, that's interesting. It explains something to me. When we were in Ecuador, we bought a small investment apartment from an Argentinian, and they insisted that we pay them in cash so that they could carry it back to Argentina themselves and convert it there. So I imagine they were doing something like that to get a little bit more bang for their buck.
Absolutely. And a lot of larger purchases here, you have to do in US dollars, which is kind of interesting. Like, if you want to buy an apartment, it has to be in US dollars, because if they list the price in pesos, it'll be a different value tomorrow.
Right.
And so they want you to pay in US dollars. And if you go to just a store and you're going to purchase something, you can do it with the credit card, but because of interest rates are so high on the credit card for these stores, they really want you just to pay cash.
Right.
It's just easier. And then they can exchange it for a stronger currency faster.
Well, with the economy so volatile in that area right now, and I believe there's presidential elections coming up there soon.
Yes.
Is there anything, is this an issue in the elections? Do you think that the results of the elections might affect the way the blue dollar is being handled?
Yes, absolutely. There is one individual, I'm drawing a blank on his name. He's kind of an outsider, but he's getting a lot of attention, and he wants to just scrap the peso altogether and put Argentina on the dollar. A lot of people around here, they are just kind of so sick of the two major parties that have been kind of running the show for so long that they are kind of like, you know, what could we lose? It can't get any worse right now. So they recently had their primary elections, which you'd call it three parties run at the same time. And this outsider actually got more votes than anybody else. And so it's really looking like he very well could become the next Argentine president. And of course, you can't just switch a currency overnight. But if he won and enough people in the Senate supported this, then he really wants to push just scrapping the peso, going to the dollar. And then there would be no more blue dollar or anything like that. It would just be all official at that point in time.
Right. That's something like what Ecuador did at one point, scrapped their own currency and went to the dollar.
Exactly. It'd just be on a much larger scale, I guess.
Now, you mentioned that things are pretty affordable in Buenos Aires there in spite of the inflation. Which kind of things are more affected by the inflation that are more expensive?
If you're a local, everything is expensive. You'll go to the grocery store and everything will change prices weekly almost. When I first got here, it was maybe once a month you'd notice a little bit of changes, but now it's just every week something, you know, basic necessities are getting more expensive. But if you are coming here and you have U.S. currency, everything is very affordable. Like, just for myself, I rent out an apartment that's fully furnished, has all the utilities, bills, everything's covered, plus all of my extra monthly expenses, you know, going out to eat, doing activities. You can go, there's a lot of very affordable medical services. My monthly expenses are about $1,000 to $1,100 a month. And I'm not like pinching pennies or anything. It's just everything is cheap for me because I have US currency.
US dollars, right?
Yes. But if you're earning pesos, it's because I mean, just knowing people that work around here, they don't get like raises or increases maybe once a year. And when the inflation is at 130%, you know, 6 months in, things are getting really hard. Mm-hmm. So I hate to say it that it's good for me, but bad for them. But I guess that's just kind of the reality of it.
Is there any resentment that you feel for this?
Surprisingly, no. A lot of people, they actually really want other people to come inside. I mean, to come and visit and just to bring their money and to spend money, because for a lot of like local shops and businesses, it's really the people that are visiting that have the disposable income,
right,
that are kind of keeping them afloat, because locals don't have that extra money to spend. And so I was actually very surprised that there isn't more resentment. But like Argentinians are very proud people. But they're tired of the government, and they have completely accepted the inflation issue. And so they accept, you know, everyone tells me, you know, tell your friends, tell everyone to come, you know, please come. So surprisingly, no, there is not, at least I have not experienced any resentment towards myself here.
Well, that's good to hear, because when we were there, that was the same impression that we had, that their faces just lit up if you asked if you could pay in American dollars. So mm-hmm. they're completely happy to have that put into their economy.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, normally I pay my rent in pesos, but if I have to go back to the States for visit family, I will come back with US dollars. And they're always so excited to be paid. it's like a few extra steps they don't have to take. And so they're just like, oh, thank you. It's like, hey, no problem.
Now, in the article, you said you have a fully furnished apartment for $350 a month.
Yes.
In the Palmero neighborhood, which is, as I recall, is actually a pretty nice neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's very large. So there's some spots that are nicer than others. But yeah, it's not the most upscale neighborhood, but it's nice. Everything you need is right here.
And I understand you had some difficulty at first finding an apartment.
Yes. that was a nightmare, especially because I had pets. And so that made it even more of a challenge. But you have to go through a real estate agent to get an apartment. You can't just, you know, go to somebody renting it out and ask if you could check it out. You have to go through like a REMAX or something like that. And that was the biggest headache, because it felt like I was kind of chasing, it's like trying to keep the attention of goldfish. You'd have to keep on reminding them like, hey, you know, like I tell somebody, okay, I'm looking for an apartment that is pet friendly. And maybe a day later, I'd get some reply. I mean, like some listings sent back to me, and I'd be like, "Okay, I like this one. Does it accept pets?" And they'd say, "No." I was like, "Okay, I need one that accepts pets." And they'd say, "Okay," and send me new ones. And then it would just go back and forth for so long. And then they know you're an outsider. They know you have money, so some places might try to take you know advantage of that. One place tried to get me to pay triple the security deposit, and I just walked away from that. But it was a massive headache, which is why I'm riding it out in this apartment for right. as long as I can. I do not feel like dealing with that, because that was the biggest hurdle of just kind of settling down here, was just finding an apartment. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you don't have pets, I'm sure it'll be easier, but it's still something to consider.
Yeah, something else you mentioned in the article that I found interesting, because I've run into this in other countries as well, is that you had problems getting people to reply to email. But if you use mm-hmm. the WhatsApp app on your phone, you get quicker responses. It seems to be interesting that WhatsApp program has become like the number one international communication tool.
Oh, absolutely. Like when I first got here, I sent some emails, and then a couple locals said, no. Don't do that. You will never hear back from them. So yeah, WhatsApp is the way to go. Even the friends I've made here, it's all WhatsApp. You don't send text. You don't use Facebook Messenger or anything like that. It's all WhatsApp. That's just, I don't know. That's, I guess, how it is around here.
Yeah, I guess it's because you can use it anywhere you have Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
But that's true of other apps too. I don't know what it is about it that just really caught on, but I noticed that's, you know, making Airbnb reservations in other countries, they all want to know your WhatsApp number.
Yep. Yep. That's whenever somebody says, I'm going to go overseas, I just tell them, make sure you download WhatsApp, because right. they're not going to message you on anything else. So you got to have that.
So do you have a residency visa there?
No, it's more of, so they have, you're allowed to stay for 90 days and you can kind of, basically it's almost the old school border run situation. Mm-hmm. You leave and you come back. So you have Uruguay, a ferry right away. It's about an hour. If you want to do that, I've had immigration lawyers recommend not doing just a day run every 90 days, because eventually immigration is going to look at your passport and just not like that.
Right.
So I take the opportunity to just kind of visit neighboring countries for a week or two, just to kind of, you know, grow my experience. Some of the residency and other visas are kind of difficult to obtain. It's just, you know, the bureaucratic paperwork gets bogged down. I know a lot of people that just have problems with that. However, for whatever reason, overstaying your visa, whatever, is not illegal here. You can stay as long as you want, and as long as you pay a fine when you leave, it's everything's fine. And the fine mm-hmm. doesn't accumulate day by day. It's just a one flat fee. That's it. I think it equates to like $60. So I know people around here, they've overstayed for years and then they leave, they pay $60 and then everything's good. So that, I think that's one reason why the area I'm in is kind of popular, just with expats, not just from the United States, but from Europe. And I mean, I have a friend that watches my dog. She's from Brazil and she just does that. And it's actually cheaper for Brazilians to come to live in Argentina than to stay in Brazil.
Yeah. I was going to say, as someone who has gone through the whole residency procedure to get a valid legal residency in a foreign country, the idea of just paying $60 when you leave sounds really attractive.
yeah. It's, I guess they just really want people to come. And so, yeah, $60 is pretty nice. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I said, it's so difficult to get some of these visas. And I think they have a digital nomad visa, but everyone I've talked to that's attempted to apply for has just kind of given up and gone the route of the either 60-day border run or just paying the, 90-day border runs or paying the $60. They just said, you know, forget it. This is just easier and it's less of a headache.
Right. No red tape.
Yeah.
Now, for those who haven't been to Buenos Aires before, it's known as the Paris of South America. And it's a pretty large city, a lot of different neighborhoods. And each one seems to have its own flavor. Did you do much exploration of the city itself before you settled on Palermo?
I did. I walked a decent amount. I mean, I'm a walker. I'll walk anywhere. If it's pretty much under 2 hours, I'll just walk. So I like to just take it all in. And there are other areas of town I had my eyes set on for that I really wanted to be in, but it really came down to who let me move in with the dogs. it was taking so long for an apartment, and I had an Airbnb that I only had a couple days left on. So it's okay. When this place called me back, and I just kind of walked through it 5 minutes, said, okay, let's just do it, because I'm not having any other luck. So I've walked around, I mean, quite a bit in the last 16 months and visited different neighborhoods, but realistically, I kind of got stuck here just because it's where I was able to put the dogs.
Yeah, it's amazing how your pets can end up controlling your lives.
Yeah, they dictate a lot.
Yeah.
A little too much, I think, sometimes, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I did find it to be an extremely walkable city with a lot of coffee shops and things like that. Anytime you wanted to take a break, it seemed like it was no problem at all.
Yeah, you're going to find a cafe just about every corner. So if you're into lattes or espressos, this is a fantastic spot. It's every mm-hmm. corner. Very, I love walking. Although public transportation here, despite the financial problems, is exceptional. It's probably some of the best in the Western Hemisphere, and I'm including the United States in that. It has a very excellent metro system. The buses all run on time, and it's extremely affordable. Even for locals, it's affordable. Mm-hmm. So it's, if you're not a walker, you can still get around the city very easily.
Now, in your article, you brought up that the city has more bookstores per capita than any other city. I was also very impressed with the number of parks in the city.
Oh, yeah. I mean, parks everywhere. And some of them are, I mean, massive, massive parks. I mean, it's very, very green, and which is one of the things that kind of drew me to the city. Besides the European style architecture, it's just very green. A lot of the parks still have little Ferris wheels for kids to ride on. There's, mm-hmm. you know, dog parks. There's a little kind of park for everybody around here, which is, and some just in the middle of the city. You'll just be walking and, oh, park. Okay. Yeah. Which is nice, especially when it's hot. And I mean, it gets hot and sticky during the summer times. So it's nice to just sit down and try to cool off for a second.
What is the climate like throughout the year?
So I lived in Savannah, Georgia for a couple of years. I went to college in Savannah, and the weather I feel is very similar. The winter time, it can get down into the upper 30s, low 40s. So it does get a little chilly, but the summer times you're getting close to, you know, 100 degrees and very humid. Most people will say, don't visit Argentina in, you know, January because it's brutal. Mm-hmm. Especially when my air conditioning wasn't working for, you know, right. good 6 weeks. But, yeah. So if you've been to, you know, maybe Jacksonville area, that kind of part of the United States, it's very similar to that kind of yearly weather.
So fairly mild winters, but it can get warm in the summertime.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yes, I understand you have a podcast, The Last Call Express. Is that about living in Argentina, or what's the subject of your podcast?
No, it's more about just kind of the food and beverages you experience on travels, like along the way, not necessarily at your final destination, but just things as you're traveling through, the local flavors that you might experience. Like, I just had a couple guests on. I had a Brazilian barista. We just kind of chatted about coffee, which is, you know, I love coffee, so that was fascinating. I had an indigenous Bolivian woman talk about just kind of what food she likes, and which was very interesting. You usually don't hear people talking about the delicacy of, you know, bull testicles and how much they like that. So it's more kind of along those lines of just, you know, food and drink, and try to cover stuff that you might not have access to back home. And I don't know, it's just, and it's, I like talking to just people from around the world and get their takes on different things. Like I'll be talking with somebody like a sake expert. And so, because I know nothing about sake other than, you know, I get it at a sushi restaurant.
Right.
So it's kind of along those lines, basically.
Yeah. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up Argentinian beef.
Ah, yes. Fantastic and very, very inexpensive.
Yeah, some of the best beef I've ever had was in Uruguay and Argentina. It would really spoil you quickly if you're a beef lover.
Yes. There's an interesting thing that I've learned over the last month or two, but the beef from Uruguay, in order to stand out from Argentine beef, all of the cattle there they don't get any of the hormone shots, or it's all grass fed. It's all very right. Pretty much as organic as you can get. That's Uruguay. So that's like their way to stand out from Argentina, because they'd never be able to do it through volume or price.
Right.
Fantastic beef. I mean, the Argentine beef is fantastic too. Plus, I mean, I can get, I think last I checked, a kilo of beef. So a little over 2 pounds would be, I think it was like $3 a pound or something like that for excellent
beef. Right.
Yeah.
It's not just the price, it's the quality.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can go to, I mean, there's a restaurant, Don Julio's. It's probably the most famous steak restaurant here. It's still affordable, but you can find local places for a fraction of the price, and it's just as good. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. Excellent beef anyway. And the wine. If you're a fan of Malbecs, that's their style of wine that they produce here. So yeah, wine and beef. Yeah. that's the thing.
Now, how long have you been in Buenos Aires?
Been about 18 months now.
18 months, yeah. Have you had a chance to do any traveling around other parts of the country?
Not too much recently. I had some dog health issues that we were dealing with for a while. So I haven't been able to really get around too much outside of Buenos Aires. So I'm hoping since it's wintertime right now, I'm hoping once the weather picks up, because I do want to still get down to Patagonia and take that all in. But currently, sadly, no, just Buenos Aires.
Yeah, it's always back to the dogs, isn't it?
Yeah. It's funny. I'm able to get somebody to watch them if I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks. But if I'm going to be gone for, 2 days, it's more of a challenge. So because the pet sitting services, people don't want to come for 2 days to watch the dogs.
Are there any resources online that you can recommend for people who might be considering even just an exploratory trip to Buenos Aires?
What I have found the most helpful is there's a Facebook expat group. It's Argentine Facebook expats. They are very great for answering any questions. They have entire sections on currency exchange, what to do, the best places to go. If you're going to do Western Union, there might be a discount code that you can use. They have information on finding apartments. It's really kind of a helpful just community. You can post a question, and generally speaking, you'll get an answer. But that has been the most helpful of everything, because everyone that's in the group is living in Argentina, so they can give you a direct answer for all of that. I can actually look up that group. It's just called Buenos Aires Expat Hub on Facebook. That is by far the most helpful I have found. And they have an associated foodie thing too. So for anybody that wants to come try out the culinary style, they have excellent restaurant options for that as well. But I've found that to be more helpful than most of the other resource websites out there. I always find myself returning back to Buenos Aires Expat Hub.
You really need to talk to people who are actually there,
which is
why we get so much good information from this show, because we're talking to people who are actually living the life, not just looking it up and talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, I tried to look up stuff through other portals, and it just either it'd be outdated or it just wouldn't give you that nitty gritty that you really need to kind of get in and figure out what you're doing. Like, to ride the metro, you have to get something called a SUBE card. It's spelled SUBE. And all the other websites just say, get it. You can get it from one of the kiosks anywhere. Of course, you arrive and none of the kiosks actually sell it. And so trying to find a card that I could get on the metro with was nearly impossible until I got onto the expat hub, and they'd say, no, this is the exact spot you have to go to, or buy it from the airport. That's the easiest. And so they have the little tips that you're just not going to get from, somebody that maybe hasn't been here in a while.
Now, the official language is Spanish, right? With kind of a smattering of Portuguese in there.
The Spanish is odd. It's a challenge to kind of pick up. If you speak Spanish, you'll probably be able to get around. But I mean, I might go out with a Venezuelan friend or a friend from Colombia, and an Argentinian person will speak to us, and I'll look to them for the translation, and they'll just, I don't know. I don't know what they said. So it's not great. But yeah, they have a very interesting dialect, and they speak it with that Italian flair. So sometimes you just listen, you're like, wait, are they speaking Italian or is it Spanish? And I get lost a lot of the times. But if you want a Spanish challenge, Argentina, absolutely. I would recommend, if you want to learn, or if you're thinking of coming here, to use one of the local Spanish tutors, because they'll be able to teach you the dialect and some of the different nuances that just don't exist in any other Spanish. And that's probably the most helpful.
Yeah, really, the Spanish differs sometimes just within the single country. The people in the city might speak a little differently from the people in the country. But yeah, Buenos Aires is kind of an extreme example of that.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right. It's once you get out of Buenos Aires, it's not as much of that Italian influence, so it's a little more laid back. You might be able to understand it a little better, but I mean, good luck.
Now, if you're looking at coming to the Buenos Aires and you don't have pets that you have to worry about, is there any particular neighborhood that stands out as a like an expat community?
Let's see. You referenced Palermo. That's probably the largest neighborhood in Buenos Aires, and there's a lot of like subsections. So you can go real niche. There is Palermo Soho, which is you got a lot of boutique shops, restaurants, coffee places. That's probably one of the big expat communities. And Recoleta is, if you feel like if you're okay with spending a little more money, that's probably the most attractive neighborhood, I'd say. If you really like that wide avenues, grand European architecture, that's probably where you want to go. Again, it's a little more pricey, but I mean, it's kind of relative. Pricey might be get a two bedroom for, you know, $1,200 or something like that. Probably even less than that. But those are like the two main expat neighborhoods. But if you want like that bohemian kind of vibe, which some people love that, there's a neighborhood called San Telmo, which is very kind of festive. I enjoy it. I there's an used English bookstore that I go to every couple weeks. And that's my go-to spot for the books because I know there's going to be English. And then there's a British pub right around the corner. So if you want to watch rugby or you just want a pint of Guinness or something, it's right there. But the San Telmo is much more affordable. It's a little grittier, FYI, but you know, it's got a nice, cool, unique vibe to it as well. And yeah, like I said, much more affordable than Palermo or Recoleta.
Yeah, San Telmo is where the old market is, right? The big market.
Yes, they have a massive street fair every Sunday. And it goes for, I mean, it starts at the Pink House, which is their version of the White House,
right?
Casa Rosada. And then it goes, I mean, it just stretches for miles and it ends in like this antique shops. And there's lots of little, you know, kind of restaurants and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, even if I don't feel like buying anything, sometimes I'll just wander down there and it's fun just to see what people are, you know, showing off down there.
Yeah, we visited the Sunday market and it was really something, tango demonstrations out in the street. And
yes.
Yeah. And matter of fact, we found the probably the best Indian food I've ever had so far was in San Telmo. Oh,
really? So, okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to take notes from you.
We have to look for it. It's right across from the market.
Okay.
The main entrance to the market. But yeah, it's maybe that's where it gets this Paris of Buenos Aires description, because it did seem like there were a lot of different cultures all around, and each neighborhood seemed to have its own little flavor.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things where I'd recommend just coming, getting an Airbnb for a little while and just kind of exploring the different neighborhoods, because everyone has their own unique, you know, taste for what they like. And chances are they'll probably find it in Buenos Aires. So it just takes a little exploring to figure out what you really want, I guess.
Well, what do you like best about living in Buenos Aires?
It sounds strange, but just the city itself. I love to walk the city in the morning before everyone comes out. Granted, it's a later crowd, so people really won't start coming out until 9 or 10. But I like walking the city, just taking in this grand French architecture and just walking to the parks when it's not too crowded yet. And it makes you feel like you're in both Europe and South America at the same time, which is really what kind of drew me to it, because I love architecture and I love that kind of Latin vibe that you get in South America. So being able to kind of wander the streets early and taking it all in. I mean, I've been here for, you know, going on 2 years and there's still, you know, there's so much to see and just kind of wander and take it all in. And that's just something I love, and being able to sit and enjoy a coffee while everyone wakes up. That's, yeah, I guess that's my favorite thing. It's small, but I don't know. You feel at peace with it. At least I feel at peace with it. And so that's what keeps me waking up in the morning.
It's a big city, but the neighborhoods give it kind of a small neighborhood feel.
Yeah, it almost feels like a bunch of little cities kind of just cobbled together in a way. And so you can kind of just take your time exploring the different neighborhoods, and Yeah, it's really fascinating to see, you know, okay, this was the German neighborhood, or yeah, this is where these immigrants came in. And it's very, very interesting. And there's always something new to explore, no matter how long you've been here.
Well, we've been talking about the other Big Apple, Buenos Aires, with Grayson Ferguson. He wrote Blue Dollar Delivers Bargain Lifestyle in Buenos Aires for the March 2023 edition of International Living Magazine. He also has his own podcast called The Last Call Express that you might want to check out. And if you want more info about Buenos Aires, do a search on the International Living website, or check out my own short story on the weekend that Rita and I spent in BA called First Tango in Buenos Aires, which you can find at jimsantos.net. Grayson, thanks for joining us on Bigger, Better World.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
The Bigger, Better World podcast is a production of International Living. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. If you have an idea for an episode or a question you'd like us to answer, email us at mailbag@internationalliving.com. And don't forget to put podcast in the subject line of your email. That's mailbag@internationalliving.com. We created Bigger, Better World to help showcase the ideas we explore at International Living each month and grow our community of travel lovers, expats, and experts who believe, as we do, that the world is full of opportunity to create a more interesting, more international life. You don't have to be rich or famous to do that, you just need to know the secrets, and that's what we bring you at International Living. If you haven't become a member yet, you can do it today with a special discount offer for podcast listeners. You'll receive our monthly magazine, plus a bundle of special extras. You'll find the link in our show notes, or you can go to intliving.com/podcast. That's intliving.com/podcast. Just a reminder, Bigger, Better World is going on the road. That's right, we practice what we podcast here. Rita and I are embarking on a 9-week tour of at least 9 different European destinations, so be sure to follow our adventures on social media. Next week, I'm pleased to welcome back IL Senior Editor Susan Haskins, who will go over the ins and outs of what to do with your stuff when moving overseas. Until then, this is Jim Santos for International Living reminding you there's a bigger, better world out there just waiting for you.